had lunch, so if this is gonna be sleepy time workshop, I'm just gonna yell at you from the front for a while. This is gonna be fun. So, hey, before we start, are there two or three brave people? I'm just curious, like, why did you choose this workshop? All the other ones were full. Yeah, why did you choose this workshop? Oh, you're scared. You're like, I don't want to know what this guy has to say.
Yeah, because I'm actually like, when I read the first line, I'm like, I'm the opposite, where people are telling me you're gonna do all these things,
Okay.
and I'm like, oh no, I'm not. No, I'm not there yet. So I was like, okay,
Awesome.
maybe
Tell me your name.
Gabby.
Hey, Gabby, thanks for that. Who else? Yeah.
I'm Jackie.
Hey, Jackie.
I'm from Windsor, so I'm just here because I want to expand my horizons of building a network thing deeper into my job and like
Yeah.
how you have talked when you had the light in your workplace.
Awesome.
I
Awesome.
wanna share my insights and like my tips as well, but also the people.
That's killer. Thanks, Jackie. Thanks for being here, man. One more. Who's here? Yeah.
I'm Derek from Newton. I'm here because like I help lead a youth group now,
Okay.
and then I also own a business and like have been all cross like leading my whole life. So
Okay. Okay. So trying to figure out like where, what direction, how does that go? Okay, awesome. So my name's Chris Vache. I'll tell you a little bit about me quickly, and then we're gonna dive right in. We are gonna go fast and furious. You're not gonna listen to me. You're gonna talk to each other for a little bit, and we're gonna fill in some shapes and some diagrams as we go. My big hope out of this is that you have more clarity, more understanding 1 hour from now what leadership actually is. How different generations think about leadership differently, and how you as a leader can take some really significant practical steps towards what is next for you. So I work with a lot of young leaders who are thinking about, I want to lead, or like people are telling me I should lead and I don't really want to, but what does that actually mean? I also work with a lot of boomers, lots of old leaders who are also trying to figure out how to let Gen Z, Gen Alpha lead. And how to do that. So I'm gonna give you some secrets into the minds of old people and why they are sometimes tough to work with. I spent 20 years working in ministry. I was a worship pastor, a creative arts pastor. I worked at a multi-site church, so I oversaw four locations, and then I became an executive pastor, which basically executive pastors kind of do all the things that senior pastors aren't good at and don't want to do. And it kind of, executive fashion, like sort of do the more organizational side of leadership. In 2018, I started a master's degree in leadership at a University of Vancouver, Trinity Western. And as I was doing my grad work, I became more convinced about the need for leadership development, leadership training, leadership support for pastors, specifically in churches. I've been doing it for a long time. I love the church. I love helping leaders who follow Jesus and are trying to make a difference. And so 4 years ago, I stepped away from full-time local church ministry and launched a consulting company. And so I run Clearway. Clearway works with lots of really good churches where there's lots of really good things happening. Those churches are growing, and now it's getting complicated. And pastors who are really good at like building teams around them, but not necessarily good at running the thing that those people are leading. Now we're like bumping elbows into each other and we're dropping balls we never used to drop. And now maybe there's some conflict and now maybe there's some confusion. And so with Clearway, we come in and help get the pastor out of running the organization. And they can get back to pastoring, but we give them enough, we call frameworks and foundations so that their church can keep on accomplishing their mission. So we work with churches and ministries and Christian nonprofits. I also get to do a bunch of stuff on the executive side. So I work with companies out in the marketplace. I work with leaders who are not Christians, and I get to talk about leadership and leadership from a perspective of someone who follows Jesus and helps them understand what leadership is not and what leadership could be as they're leading their company. So it's a lot of fun. So I think about leadership all the time. I read about leadership all the time. I get to talk about it a fair amount, and I'm excited when there's a room full of young leaders like you who are hungry, especially thinking about what's next. Okay, before we begin, as we are beginning now, what I want you to do is I want you to take, everybody got something to write with? Could be your phone, could be a pen and pencil. I want to give you 30 seconds, and I want you to write down just on your own, write down or type on your phone words that come to mind when you think about leadership. If someone were to say to you, what does leadership mean? What is leadership? I don't understand this word. What are some ways that you would describe leadership? I'm going to give you 30 seconds on your own. Go ahead, write that down now. Bullet point, single words, adjectives, doesn't mean be full phrases. When you hear leadership, what do you think of? Ten seconds. Okay, what I want you to do now with your list, turn to the person beside you, share your list with them, they're going to share your list with you, and what I want you to do is together come up with a top five. Okay, so together as a group of two people, come up with a top five list of, when I think about leadership, here's what I think about. 2 minutes. Go for it. Do you have anybody? Aiden. You got Aiden. Hey, so I want you to get a top five list together. Top five. Okay, 1 minute. 1 minute. Okay. If you hands up, you got a top five. Got a top five. Hands up. Some of you. Okay. Who's got four? I got four. I'm struggling with the fifth. We good? We got top five. All right. What are you gonna do next? I want you to get together with another group, and you're gonna take both of your top fives, and you're gonna mash them together and come up with the top three. Oh, now we're getting serious, okay? So link up with another group. I'm going to give you 3 minutes. 3 minutes this time. You got lots of time to do this. Link up with another group and get a top three. Who needs a group still? Do you need a group? Nope, you got a group? Just come with somebody that's here. I'm
So glad I asked you.
Okay, one more minute. Who's got top three? Who's got a top three? Yeah, a couple groups. Okay, one more minute. Okay, who's got their list? Who's got their top three? Good, good, good. Good, we're good. Oh, at the back. Top three in the back. 2.5. Awesome. Very good. Okay, how was that? Fun? Have you thought of that before? Oh, what is a leader? What is leadership? Have you given that some thought? Was that easy for you? Was it challenging for you? Both. Yeah.
I think it was challenging to like narrow it down to like, or like we made our own bullet list.
Yeah.
To narrow it down to 5 and then to narrow it down.
Yeah. Okay. Great. And then you started arguing.
Yeah.
You threw a punch. Yes, I did. Okay. We're going to start in the back corner. Here's what we're going to do. We're not going to go through every group and every top three, but we're going to hear from each group. And we're going to start in the back. I want to hear one of your top three items. And if you're in a group and you say, oh yeah, it might not have been that exact word, but we have that idea as well, okay? And we're gonna gather some list of ideas here. So in the back, give me one of your top three. Confident. Who had confident or something like that in your top three? Yeah, okay, great. And I apologize for my writing, it's terrible, I'm sorry, but I'm too old, I'm not gonna change it now. All right, let's go. Not point to another group and give us one of your words.
Discipleship.
So a leader is someone who is discipling other people, pouring into others. Who had that? Discipling other people, pouring into other people, mentoring other people. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Okay, who's next in the back there? What's one from your list?
Umbrella.
Umbrella. Tell me about how an umbrella is a leader.
Yeah, so in the sense that the leaders themselves are not the ones making all the decisions, rely on everyone around them to take place, to be able to push the kind of goal or objective they have in mind.
Okay.
So it's like they're kind of just like the spearhead, but like they're not pulling everyone, they're being pushed by everyone.
So they're like a team leader, but giving support, inviting input, and allowing for sort of broader ownership, broader leadership, not just through them. Okay, who else had maybe not that exact thing, but something similar? Plus one, okay. Well, I'm going to put umbrella because that was your word and we know what that means. That's really interesting and you'll hear why later. Okay, what's the next group?
Control things that you control. Meaning like if something is like absolutely crazy that you can't control, there's no sense worrying about it. And if you can't control it,
okay, so a leader is someone who controls the controllables and recognizes the things that are within my area of control and outside my area of control. Okay, who had that or something like it? Okay, great job identifying that one. Next group, let's go this way. Yeah.
Ethical.
Who had ethical or something like that in their top three? Nobody. You're the only one that cares about leaders. Oh, you guys did. Okay. Okay. All right. This group here.
Resilient.
Why is it important for leaders to be resilient?
You're going to make mistakes.
You're going to make mistakes. Yeah. Challenges come. Just a question of like when and how many. Who had resilient in your top three or something like it? Okay. Let's go this way. This group here.
Vision.
Sorry?
Vision.
Vision. Leadership. Leadership is about giving vision, bringing vision, casting vision for people to get excited about, inspire them, and follow. Yeah, okay. Who had vision as part of leadership? 1, 2. Hey, who else? You had lots of time to choose your words. It's too late to change now.
We said humility.
Humility. Why is humility important in leadership?
I think it's really important to recognize that, yeah, you work together as a group.
Yeah.
You don't have all the power.
Okay.
But at the same time,
recognize your position. With everyone else, yeah. Who else had humility or something like it? One, two, three. Excellent. All right. Is there one more group? Yeah. Who?
Being willing to listen to people who you are leading.
Being willing to listen to the people that you're leading, even if you don't like them and don't trust their opinion. But at least be willing to listen. Who had willing to listen? One, two, awesome. Yeah, maybe not exactly that, but that idea. Okay, let's do one more round. Let's go all the way to the back again. Passionate. Why is it important for leaders to be passionate? People find out pretty quickly if you're leading something that you don't love. So who had passionate or something like that on their top three? Okay, let's go here again.
Sacrifice.
Leadership is about sacrifice, sacrificing yourself, maybe your own desires, your own wants for the sake of other people. Okay, who had that on their list? Yeah, you guys did. Oops, plus two. Okay, in the back?
Devoted.
Is that kind of like passionate? Okay, give me another word you got there.
Awareness.
Cool. Tell me about why awareness is important for a leader. Great. Excellent. Who else had awareness or something like it on your top three? Okay. Really good. Let's go in front here. Yeah.
Well, we had a role model, which is kind of similar to discipleship mentoring, and also kind of similar to like.
Kind of similar to ethical. Role model. It's important for a leader to be a role model. Why is that important?
Well, I mean, you want your whole team, like, having those aspects that are really important to you.
Okay. Really good. Love that. Anybody else have role model or something like it on your list? This is a great list. You guys are paying attention. It's awesome. Oh, yeah. You had it on your list? That's your thing? Mentor. Okay. Which was here. We caught it there. Awesome. Okay, this group.
Vulnerability.
Why is vulnerability an important aspect of leadership?
I think if you have a leader that's like vulnerable, they're okay to open themselves up and show you who they are. It's really easy to get behind them.
Yeah.
Like you can trust someone like that.
Yeah.
And if they have a vision that they're really passionate about, I think that you want to get behind that.
Yeah. This really fascinating thing, and especially this thing about older leaders, the idea of vulnerability has been perceived historically as weakness in leadership. And one of the big shifts we're seeing is actually, Craig Groeschel has a sign, like, people want to follow a leader who's always, it's not always right, who's always real, not necessarily a leader who's always right. And it's this idea of knowing the right level of vulnerability, because there's too much, you can be too vulnerable and be too open and tell people too much. But like navigating the right level of vulnerability with the right people at the right time. Who had that or something like that on your list? Great, really insightful. Okay, let's go here to this group.
We said responsible.
Responsible.
In the sense of like planning for the future and managing.
Okay. Who had responsible, something like it? Awesome. We're catching lots of good stuff here. Okay, you guys.
Being trustworthy.
Trustworthy.
Everybody can trust.
Look, can we put that with ethical?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did you have anything else, or did we go your whole list?
Yeah, being a decision maker.
Decision maker. So being willing to like make decisions confidently, know the right decision to make. Okay, does anyone have a decision maker on your list? At the back? Great. Decision maker. Who do we hear? Hit this group.
Wise.
Okay. What's the difference between awareness? We didn't really have like a leader needs to be knowledgeable, but like a leader needs to know their role. Maybe that comes with sort of that confident. What's the difference between knowledgeable and wise?
Wisdom is action. Knowledge is just.
Okay, so knowledge is like I know some stuff. Wisdom is what am I going to do with it?
Also, I would say like true wisdom comes from fear of the Lord. So if somebody's wise, then they also fear the Lord.
Okay, wisdom. Yeah, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes, like if they have that, they already fear the Lord.
Okay, I saw him out back there about wisdom. Okay, awesome. Does anybody have anything on their top three that we haven't really captured yet? She's poking you, so you must have had a real good influence. Tell me about influence as a leader and why that's important.
I think people have to buy into your idea, or your vision, or your goal. And if not,
yeah,
then really lead people into attracted to you, what you're going to lead them to.
Yeah. Nobody's following you. It's like leaders, if you think you're a leader and nobody's following you, you're just out for a nice walk. They're like, if you can't influence people to get on board with your vision, your ideas, and why it's good and why we should do it, yeah, leadership can be pretty challenging. Did we miss anything else in anyone's top three? Yeah.
Did you take like realistic risks once in a while?
Oh, realistic risks. Be open to change. So not unwilling to risk, but not foolish about it.
Yeah.
What's a good word? What's a good word that captures that? Vicious. Did you say vicious?
Ambitious.
Ambitious. All right. Ambitious is a great one. Man, this is fun.
Another word might be compassion.
Compassion. Who would love to follow leaders that live out these characteristics and these qualities? Wouldn't this be awesome? And unfortunately, when we think of a lot of the leaders in our world, maybe some of the leaders in your own life, you're like, ooh, I wish they could see this list. I wish they could be at this workshop. And it's not that leaders don't want to be these things, but there is it's very easy to get caught up in thinking about leadership much more around position. Hey, I'm in a certain job or I've got a certain role, and so I'm the boss, and so you have to do what I say. Or we think about leadership as power, right? Like I've got authority, and so I'm going to make some decisions that are going to have an impact on you. And the third way we tend to think about leadership in our culture is personality, right? Like somebody's got charisma and they attract a following. We think like, oh, that's a leader. And there's this idea that power, position, and personality equals leadership. And really, just from this list that you've been talking about, none of that stuff got mentioned. Now, some of these things might show up in your personality. Some of these things might lead to opportunities to get positions. And truthfully, if you're an organization, if you work in ministry, if you work in corporate, you may be in a position where you do have power, but that's not the thing that makes you a leader, right? We see these things lived out in our life. And really, that's the definition of leadership. Okay, we're going to keep cooking. This is so good. I wish I had a way to stick this up on the wall, and I don't. But that's really sad. It's sad that I even thought that might work, right? Based on this list, I want you to have somehow a group conversation for like a minute. And can we come up with the top five of what's here? What would really capture the heart of what leadership means? So you might want to like link up one of your groups with another group. Maybe you just want to have a conversation in the whole room. I'm not sure. You're all smart people. You figure it out. I don't have to tell you everything on what to do. But if we were to come up with a top five list of what defines leadership, what would that be? Go.
Okay. He said awareness. And we said that that might capture a lot of.
It would be fair game to pull ideas together, bring words together. You want me to hold this up? Yeah. I shouldn't have torn it off. What was I thinking? I should have left it up there. Oh, we're good. Okay, 30 seconds.
Which I mean, like,
servant, yeah, yeah. get a word that captures a bunch of ideas.
Yeah.
Be like Jesus. Just be like Jesus. Yes. There we go.
Is every group got at least a couple? You got a couple? Yeah. All right. All right. Who feels real strong about one of your words? You're like, for sure, this is one of them. You got it.
Vulnerable.
How do we feel about vulnerable as being one of the top five? It may not be that exact word, but I think that idea is really interesting. Vulnerable. Okay. E. Let's get another. Yeah. Influence. Who likes that idea of like leadership is influence? And there's some different words that came out that express that idea. But for leadership to happen, you have to be able to influence other people. I'm bored with that idea. There's a guy, John Maxwell, who that's his definition. He basically is like leadership is influence. So whatever scenario you're in, never mind power, position, personality, you have the opportunity to influence other people in every situation. And that is leadership. Yeah.
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Answer a couple more. Yeah.
Humility.
Humility. It's a big one. And that gets to like mentorship. That gets to inviting input from other people. Sacrifice was in there. I mean, humility and vulnerability connect as well. Yes.
We had mentioned the idea of being a
servant. Being a servant. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this group was like, we'll just be like Jesus. That's what this group is doing. That's just the headline here. Yeah, it's always the answer. This is not Sunday school. And being a servant, one of the most significant ways to influence other people is to serve them, right? I want to hear from another group. You guys already got one. So in the back, yes.
Passionate.
Sorry?
Passionate.
Okay. The idea of this is to get you all thinking. It's awesome to just see you kind of go from writing down ideas to having really good conversation about this. We could do this for a while, right? And we could take these words and start to group them together and start to cluster them together. I just pick five because it's fun and I get to lead the workshop. We could spend a bunch of time. What I want you to notice is there are some words which are not here. Like leadership is not really about your personality. Like you weren't born to be a leader because you can choose whether you have influence on people. You can choose to grow in wisdom. You can choose to have humility in different situations. Leadership is not about the position that you're in. You may get to be in a position one day where you do have the opportunity to be a leader, but that's not really what it is. And leadership is not about power and telling other people what to do. There are lots of other characteristics that actually truly demonstrate leadership. I'll give you this as homework. We're not going to do this now. But you might want to think about these five words, the words that you wrote down, the words you came up with in your group. And you might go home and start reading in Scripture and saying, like, where do I see influence demonstrated in the Bible? And how does that look like leadership? Where do I see wisdom demonstrated in the Bible? And how does that look like leadership? And it's not that we want to sort of reverse engineer what we think about leadership and go and make the Bible fit our definition, but to as we're trying to come up with some understandings of it, say, like, how do I see this at play in Scripture, in the life of Jesus, and people whose lives were changed by the gospel, in the early church, in the Old Testament? How do I see these things, and do I see these things at play in Scripture? As I've grown as a leader and had people invest in me in pretty significant ways as a leader, I've landed on three really formative passages of Scripture. Psalm 78, very end of Psalm 78, 72, Ephesians 4, and 1 Corinthians 12. And this is not the only definition of leadership, but as you are thinking about growing and developing as leaders, you may want to begin thinking about, like, oh, not just what are the words that I use to describe leadership, but actually, how do I think biblically about leadership? And how do I see leadership at play in Scripture? How does that help to shape and inform how I think about it? Psalm 78, 72, God calls David out of the sheepfold to shepherd Israel with an upright heart and guide them with a skillful hand. Shepherd Israel with an upright heart and guide them with a skillful hand. And I was growing up in a leadership environment where we tended to value one or the other. Like, oh, that dude's really good at something, he should be a leader. Or like, that lady has a really nice heart, so we should let her sing. No. And often, not just in ministry, but in lots of different situations, we kind of pull away of like, well, leadership is about getting stuff done, and leadership is about the skillful hand, the competency of it. And so as long as you're good at the job, as long as you can get stuff done, you're a leader. And there's this other piece, this upright heart piece, the character. I think as a pastor, and I read through Scripture, I think about the life of Jesus, described primarily by the Sermon on the Mount, Beatitudes, and by the fruit of the Spirit, to see character at work. And as a leader influencing other people, what I began to shape in the world that I had leadership over was like, we can expect both. We can expect skillful hand and upright heart. We don't need to settle for one or the other, because there it is possible for leaders to be upright heart people and skillful hand people. Ephesians 4, this was for me in my context in ministry, Ephesians 4, that Jesus gives some to be apostles, prophets, teachers, to equip God's people to do the work of the ministry. Okay, you pointed this out at the back there as we were talking, that a leader, not just in church context, but everywhere, a leader is not, I'm the person that gets stuff done, and the reason you should look at me is because I'm able to do it. Actually, the most effective people are the ones who have influence and are able to invest in, equip, develop other people. For me, in my context, that's church ministry world. So to equip other people to do the work that God's called us to do, that's actually leadership. So Ephesians 4, for me, became that big second one. And then 1 Corinthians 12, talking about the body of Christ, right? Some of us are hands, some of us are elbows, some of us are ankles, but we all need each other. There's not one standalone person or kind of person. That actually leadership is understanding the role that I'm called to play in the community, in the body of Christ, and how that helps shape understanding. It also helps me remember that actually I need the other parts of the body to help me understand and know more about who I am. Because I can't see all my parts. I got some blind spots. And so I need to be in community with other people who can point out the times when I'm not living out the things that I think are really important at leadership. They can help me get better. Iron sharpens iron. So for me, when I think about leadership, my sort of personal philosophy around leadership, Psalm 78, 72, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, that's been really formative and really shaping. So I would encourage you to do that. As you think about your own definition of leadership, to spend time in Scripture, say, like, why do I think these are important? And how do I see these characteristics at play? And how can God's Word help to shape how I think about leadership? So we use in our coaching and our training this baseball diamond, which is really just like a four sides of what it means to be a leader. And the four characteristics of a leader rather than thinking about power and personality and position, we think about these four. And the four descriptions are character, competency, credibility, and chemistry. Character, competency, credibility, and chemistry. So what is character? When I use that as a description, I talk about Psalm 78. My thought about character is who you are, who you're becoming. Who you are and who you're becoming. We talk a lot about character as like the person that you are when nobody's watching. I don't think that's wrong. What I think is also true is character is who you are when everybody's watching. Like who you actually show up as reveals your character. Jesus talks about this, right? What's in your heart comes out of your mouth. If you don't like what's coming out of your mouth, you need to look at what is going on inside of your heart. The way that you show up reveals what's going on inside of you. And actually, character is a huge component of leadership. It is unfortunate in the church and in the world. We are seeing lots of examples of people who are put in positions of leadership with power, maybe because they have the personality and charisma, and they do not have the character to sustain the level of leadership that's been given to them. This is crucial, especially for you as young adults in the stage of your life, is to spend time developing character. Spend time finding people who fit this description and be around them. People who are willing to pour into you and to influence you. People who are wise. People who are courageous. People who are willing to call you out on your stuff. And people who will help you grow and develop in character. 1 Corinthians 12 is the body. We need each other. And the fruit of the Spirit. That you cannot grow character of Jesus inside of you coming out if you are not spending time in the Word on your own, spending time in prayer, spending time in community. You don't get to be a leader outside of community, and that's church. This is the thing that we see over and over is the leadership deficiency, not just for young leaders, for old, broken down leaders too. Okay. Second, what's competency? We talk competency. What do we mean when we say that word? What's competency? Skills. Knowledge, abilities. Like, do you have what it takes to do the job? If I were to say, hey, there's an opportunity in my organization, in my company, whatever we're doing, to lead at this level, it can't just be like, oh, that sounds cool. I want to do that. Like, do you have the skills that it takes to do it? How do competencies grow? How do you learn new things? Experience. Practice, experience. You get around someone who knows how to do the thing. Repetition, you put your hand up and you say like, oh, I don't know how to do that. I need somebody to help me, right? Like there's a time when you didn't know how to put your pants on and now I think you all can. But somebody helped you do that. You have competencies. You are writing on pieces of paper. You couldn't always do that. You have skills that you're doing in your job, at school, whatever it is. And you have to be willing to say a level of humility, oh, like being a leader who has that opportunity, that's really interesting to me. I should probably figure out the competencies that are needed for that. And I need to grow. I need to learn what is going to be needed. You should also be surrounding yourself, if you're working in an organization, a company, who's giving you opportunity, they should be telling you the competencies that are needed for that job. Like for you to be successful as a leader, you need to know what it's going to take in terms of skill. It might be education, it might be training, but understanding the competencies that are needed. The third, then, area is around credibility. What does credibility mean? Trustworthiness. Yeah, like if I ask this person to do a job, they're going to get it done. Leaders are people who get stuff done. We don't have all of our credibility just by what we accomplish or what we do. But if you're going to be a leader that has influence, a leader who continues to get opportunities, we need to pay attention to credibility. This is a thing that is sort of more specific to young leaders can sometimes find it challenging to think like, why am I not getting that job? Like, why am I not getting that opportunity? Why did they ask that person and not this person? Sometimes it's credibility. Like you don't have a track record or a proven sort of length of success that you can deliver. Now, some of that is because you just haven't been doing the role that you're in for long enough. But also, you should be aware that the people who are leading you are looking at you and saying, is there a level of credibility with this person? Like, do I trust them? Do I trust them to go to that next level? Do I trust them to be invited into that next opportunity? So think about this third of credibility. And then the fourth factor is chemistry. And chemistry is just with other people. Like, do we like this person? Is this person likable? Do they feel like they're part of the team? When we say as a company, as an organization, as a church, whatever it is, these are things that we value together. Does that person value them? And young leaders will sometimes place themselves in situations that like, okay, I know I don't agree with everything this company does, but like this looks like a good opportunity. Or I wish I was part of that thing and I'm not, and I'm not sure why. But older leaders, one of the things older leaders tend to look for is this the kind of person that's living out the values that we hold to be true? As young leaders, you should be spending time thinking about, what do I value? Like, what do I think is really important? Because chemistry is not just like, are you likable? Are you in, is that person a good hang? Do we like going for coffee or beer after work? Chemistry is like, does this person value the same things that we value? And if you go into a situation wanting an opportunity, wanting to move up a ladder, getting to that next seat, what we may tend to do is diminish our own values and step into the things that we see that company valuing. And all of a sudden, things like ethical norms or decisions that may have required wisdom, we're kind of going against the things that we value, pursuing the next opportunity. So if you haven't spent time thinking about your own personal values and what those are and what you would be looking for in a leadership opportunity, what you would be looking for even in a job, this is probably part of your development. Think about this, because chemistry really comes out of what you value and does that line up with what different organizations value. Okay, before we go on, any questions about any of those four? Okay, turn to the person beside you. And all I want you to have a chat about is which one of these four stands out to you as the one that you think you need to pay attention to the most. Either because it needs a little bit of growth, or it's like, oh, I didn't realize that that was as significant as it was. So have a chat with the person beside you. Which one of these four stands out as the most significant for you? Okay, 1 minute. Okay. All right. I'm going to hear from a few of you. I'm going to ask some people that we haven't heard from yet. And all those people are nervous already that I'm going to ask them. So I don't think we've heard from you on the end there. So which one of these four stands out for you? Yeah. Okay, so he convinced you to change your mind. So you're so influential. We'll go back. Let me go back to your original answer. Why did competency stand out? By the way, this isn't sort of the like the most important or the thing, but like when you thought about this, why did competency stand out for you?
For me, initially, I was thinking that I have to buy them groceries.
Great. Actually, like it shows up, and that connects to credibility as well, right? Like I might say I love my family, and I might know how to wash dishes, but if I don't ever do it, these are all connected. That's great. Gabby, we haven't heard from you yet.
I was saying that kind of the chemistry one stood out to me.
Chemistry.
Because as I'm kind of considering what might be next for me.
Yes.
I need to consider what is going to line up with the values.
Great. Excellent. Very good. Okay, we're going to go. I want to leave some time at the end for questions. So let's start talking about old people. Does that sound fun? Who's got like older people who are leaders in your life and they kind of drive you crazy because they don't really see? Yeah. Who's Gen Z in the room? Are Gen Alpha? Are Gen Alpha young adults yet? Not quite. So you go Gen Z. Who's like, I'm like the low end of millennial? Yeah, young millennial. Okay. We're going to talk about generations and how different generations think about leadership. Because for those of you who are young millennials, we'll include you in the Gen Z crew. You're still cool. You can be with it. Just don't try and use any of the lingo. Millennials, Gen Z, and Gen Alpha as well think very differently about leadership than older leaders, boomers, Gen X. And I'm not using boomers as like the insult, but I'll go really quickly. Boomers were born after the Second World War. Everybody came home from the war. They were real happy to see each other. Whole lot of babies came, right? There's this like demographic bump. Boomers worked really hard because there was lots of opportunity. There was lots of money to be made. And so they were workaholics. And then Gen X came along. And Gen X was born sort of late 60s through the early 80s. Gen X is the generation that grew up when both mom and dad were working. So Gen X is called latchkey kids. You ever heard that term, latchkey kids? Because Gen X are the kids who had to let themselves in to the house after school because mom wasn't at home. That was the sort of first time that that had happened. Gen X are the ones who came up with like work-life balance because they've seen workaholic wreck families and all kinds of stuff. Millennials come along. Millennials are called that because they kind of come of age at the millennium. Millennials love experiences, catching butterflies, looking for seashells. But also, millennials start to realize experiences are not all the thing because I like to eat. And so millennials actually pick up some of the workaholic habits of boomers. It just gets expressed in lots of different ways, mostly through being influencers. There's a lot of studies that like actually the influencer generation of millennials is this mirror of how boomers were seeing their own like self-determination from a couple generations before that. Then Gen Z comes along. Gen Z, essentially, if you were born, if you don't remember 9/11 happening, that's kind of the start of Gen Z. So Gen Z grows up in a world that is like really chaotic. If before 9/11, there was this idea of like globalism. We're trying to get everyone around the world happy with each other. And 9/11 breaks that apart. 2008, there's a financial crisis, housing crisis. We can't trust banks. We can't trust pensions. Families are falling apart. Church scandals are happening. Gen Z, you all grew up in a world where like there's no foundations, especially if you don't know Jesus. And Gen Z becomes the first generation in the history of the world, as far as we know, where family is not the number one core value. Gen Z's number one core value is stability. I just want everything to be okay. And I think actually for those of you who are Christians and involved in church leadership, it's an amazing opportunity for the church. Because if you can create a place for your friends that is stable, this is what we're beginning to see is that there are these quiet revivals happening among Gen Z because they're looking for something that the world can't offer them. I think we're going to hear more about that later today. But Gen Z also wants to make their own stability. So how many of you, you're in university? How many of you have a side hustle already in university? Several. In my world, there was no such thing as side hustles. But Gen Z, the idea is like what we're going to probably see is portfolio income. So you're probably not going to ever have like just one job or one career because we can't count on one place and then to have a pension on the end. So that affects and impacts how we think about leadership. What we've historically always seen in workplaces is three generations working together, right? So you've got kind of the master, the person who's done this job forever. This is the boomer. And we've got this second generation who are like, they're the doers. They've been trained by the master. They know how to do the job and they're getting it done. And then you have the third generation that comes along as sort of the entry level. So I'm going to sweep the floors and pack the boxes and do whatever it takes, because maybe if I stick along long enough, the master is going to retire or die. And then the doer is going to move up into the corner office and get the position that tells everyone what to do. And because I started at entry level, I'm going to move into the second. And then finally, I'm going to be able to tell those young punks what to do as they come in. Okay, that's been the cycle for generations and generations. What's happening now because of demographics and people are staying healthier longer is we have four generations working together. We have boomers and Gen X and millennials and Gen Z all working together. And what's happening is boomers are not going out to pasture. They're not going home to die. They're healthier, so they're working longer. They also like making money. And they usually have like sweet gigs that don't have much expectation and nice paychecks. So they're by the way, this is not just corporate world, this is church world too. So they're sticking around longer. So this transition isn't happening. And what we're seeing is this Gen X generation is getting overlooked. And leadership is moving to the third, but also sometimes to the fourth generation. You as Gen Zs actually have amazing opportunity to influence organizations in many ways. I'm a Gen X. We're overlooked. It's okay. Nobody cares about us anyways. It's cool. No problem. Nirvana is like the theme song of Gen X. Just go listen to Nirvana and like, what are all these old people like? Nirvana is the soundtrack of our whole generation. But as millennials and Gen Zs are getting leadership in a sense, like before they're ready for it, like before some of this generational sequencing has tended to happen, what we're not really understanding is that these two groups of people and these two groups of people see leadership completely different. And this is not just like a cool idea for me. This is part of what I did in my master's work. There's all kinds of research. I'm not going to take time and unpack it all now. But I'm going to use these two triangles just to like demonstrate how different groups of leaders, different generations think about leadership. And the way that I talk about this and think about this is we have leaders who were trained and developed in a 20th century mindset. And we have leaders who were trained and developed in a 21st century mindset. So you might hear me describe how 20th century leaders, boomers and Gen X, think about leadership. And you may say like, oh, I think about that a little bit. And I'm not saying that you can't. What I'm saying is this is a mindset, a 20th century mindset of what leadership is, what leadership requires, and who leaders are. And there's a 21st century mindset that's much more natural, much more accessible for millennials and Gen Zs. And I go and work with teams and you get these older leaders who are like, oh, 21st century leadership. Like, I do all the cool things. Hey, fellow children. And it's like, yeah, you might do those things, but those are learned behaviors. You've picked them up. This is the water that you swim in and you've realized, oh, I need to shift a little bit. So it's not exclusive. It's not that you can't break this barrier. So let me show you the three sides of the triangle. The three sides of the triangle of 20th century leadership are to be a visionary, to be directive, and to be results driven. If you go through and look even at media, books, movies, what does it mean to be a leader? To be a leader means I've got a vision for the future. It's inspiring. It's compelling. I can cast it for people. I know where we're going and I know what we have to do to get there. The second side of the triangle is I know the vision for the future and I'm telling you what you have to do for us to contribute. So I'm hiring you to do a job and you have to do that job so that we accomplish our vision. And my job as a leader is to tell you, to be directive in what that job is. The third side of the triangle is results. At the end of the day, I don't care if your grandma was sick, you're sick, your car broke down, doesn't matter. We need results. And we need results at any cost. Leaders in a 20th century mindset are driven by results. They think about results. This is not just corporate world. This is in church as well. If the church is growing, if people are meeting Jesus, it's all worth it. It's a very common phrase. It doesn't matter if the leader's a bit of a jerk, as long as we're getting results. Anybody know anybody who fits this paradigm? Okay. Now, this isn't a bad model. Leaders do need to be visionary. There are situations where leaders do need to be directive, and we do need to care about results that we're producing because we're investing resources in whatever we're doing. 21st century leadership, I use triangles because it's almost literally 180 degrees in the opposite direction. And the three sides of the leadership triangle for 21st century is, let me do it this way, outcomes. I'm trying to figure out, like, how do I write upside down? Actually, here. The three sides of the triangle for 21st century leader is we need to be in relationship with the person that with the people that we're leading. It's not enough. It's actually not compelling to just cast a vision and people rally around that leader and go. 21st century understanding of leadership says to be a leader, I need to know and be known by the people that I'm leading. I need to know the people beyond the position that they hold. I need to know them as people. They need to know me as people. We talk about vulnerability a little bit. And as we are in relationship and as we're building trust, we will be able to discover and inspire people toward vision together. Okay? The second side of the triangle is as we do that, as we get clarity, instead of being directive, actually the posture is much more about coaching. Hey, like, we've got a vision for the future and like we're in relationship. So like, what do you think you should do to help that be successful? How can I help you succeed? Positionally in an org chart, I might be above you, but my job is much more in a 21st century mindset of like, I'm here to make you succeed and to do this. And the third side of the triangle is outcomes. You might read this and be like, well, you said results. How is results different outcomes? 21st century mindset is much more around, it's not just about did we get the job done? But how did we get the job done? And results tends to be much more, I know the process, you work for me, you do the process. 21st century leaders want to be in ownership of the process much more to deliver the outcome. But then we're also thinking about like, what are the costs? What is it costing us to get these results? Because it's not just money or time. There's people costs, there's environmental costs, there's all kinds of costs that come into play. And so 21st century leaders tend to think much more about outcomes, much less about results. Does this resonate for you, Gen Z's, young millennials in the room? A little bit. What I encourage you to think is like, this is not right and this is not wrong. So for you as young leaders, as you're thinking about what's next, how do I look for and step into my next opportunity? You need to remember that likely you're serving under or serving alongside leaders who are thinking about leadership this way. And they may be looking to you to be more visionary than you are. You may be quite comfortable living in this relationship side of the triangle and like, how do I grow as a visionary leader? You may feel like, oh, I'm good at coaching people. And if like people want to figure it on their own and they may be looking to you to be more directive. Often young leaders feel a little bit weird of like telling old people what to do. But actually, if you're leading a team, you're leading a project, they're looking to you to be directive. So to take the coaching posture and actually integrate some directiveness in that actually is a signal to older leaders like, oh, you've got some credibility, you got some trustworthiness. And then yes, thinking about outcomes connected to results. So if we have things that we're trying to accomplish, we need to be aware of the process to get there and the costs of what it's going to take along the way. But at the end of the day, how do I communicate and deliver on the results that are expected from me? Okay? So you might want to grab a photo of that, think about it. Again, you might want to take this home as homework and go through this and be like, oh, do I sit more in this like 21st century posture or 20th century posture? the fun part of what I do is I get to talk to a lot of old Gen X and Boomer leaders and help them understand that their posture needs to shift, that they actually need to sort of move out of positions of leadership, give up control and authority, be open-handed, and step more into a relational coaching outcome-driven framework. Some of them can do it. Most of them find it really, really hard. But if you're serving under older leaders, just know that like they're going through some stuff internally and trying to figure this out as well. Okay, is that helpful? Awesome. We're at time. We got one question, two questions, or are we at time? Any questions on anything we covered so far? Anything you're thinking about? Turn to the person beside you and tell them what your takeaway is from this session. 30 seconds, go.
Oh, man, there's a lot of things that
All right. Awesome. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for choosing and like cramming all the corners of the space. I'll stick around with this stuff after. I'm here all day if you want to chat. Enjoy the rest of your day. Go for it.